The following is a presentation of Remnant.
Hi, this is Jerry from Remnant. Let's be honest, this life can be hectic, draining, and downright confusing. My hope is that by listening to this message, your life can be impacted by God's great love for you, and His love will give you wisdom, courage, and strength. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to a message from Pastor Jerry Godsey.
So today we're going to talk about being CPR certified. Know what you know. Here's all the social media stuff for today. At Jerry Godsey, hashtag CPR certified, hashtag CPR series again, and at Remnant Church. Please, please use social media during the message. It's great when I get home and I see screenshots of the screens or people, they make points that have really touched them. It's very encouraging to Jeremiah and I to know that something we said really hit home with you, and that's important. Let's open up with a word of prayer. Believe God to do something great, shall we? Father, you're so good to us. And because you're so good to us, we need to share that goodness with others. We need to be able to share our faith. We need to tell others the great things that you have done for us, and yet many of us don't. So God, I pray that for the next few moments, your heart would speak through me, God, that the things that I have to say will come directly from your throne. God, as we look at how we're going to be the people you want us to be, bless us now, God. We ask it in your name. Amen. All right, I want to say up front that if there is a mistake in the way to witness, I've made it. I have made many, many missteps. When I was young in the ministry, I mentioned it last week, we were taught an evangelism method. Now, anytime in church people start talking to you about methods, it's usually going to be really, really weird and not very effective. You know, I was taught the four spiritual laws, and you tell them about the four spiritual laws, and that will open their hearts to Jesus. Not often. You know, and then we had a way of this, I don't know, I don't know who came up with this thing, where we had questions, you know, and one of the things, well, if I give you my watch, and people get excited, they think they're going to get a free watch, and they're not, because we're not giving them our watch, we're just using it as a metaphor, and years later, I found out the way that works best for me for evangelism. How about telling people what Jesus did for me? I don't have to fool them, I don't have to cajole them. I don't have to lead them down a path. I just need to tell them what Jesus did for me. I wish I could go back and talk to some of these people that I messed up on. Because, you know, they'd sit there and they'd nod politely. You ever have somebody, when you're talking to them, they nod and you know they're, like, not listening at all. Like, I wonder if I left the oven on. You know, they just got that, yeah, they've tuned out. Or they'd look at their watch, or they'd yawn, or say things like, shut up, leave me alone. You know, it's just little subtle cues maybe that maybe it's not going so well. Well, today I really want to share with you the fact that we all know what we know. And here's the thing. I said when I prayed a minute ago that we all need to be sharing our faith. We need to be talking to others about Jesus. And the number one reason I hear from people why they don't do it is, well, I don't know the theology. If somebody is lost in sin, do you really think they care if you're a dispensationalist? Do you really care? Do you really think they care if you're pre-trib, post-trib, mid-trib? Some of you look at me like, I don't know what those things mean. Fine. It's not important to sharing your faith. You know what's important to sharing your faith? What did Jesus do for you? That preaches. All of the rest of that stuff is just window dressing. That's us trying to be complicated about something very simple. Now, first thing you need to know is you are not going to go in here. Here's what I don't want you to do. Okay? Do you know Jesus? Because if you don't know Jesus, you're going to hell. Maybe a little more subtle way to do that than that. And some people get the idea that it's an argument. Well, when I witness to them, I'm going to argue with them and tell them how wrong they are. No. Does anybody ever really win an argument? No. Most people walk away with hurt feelings. In fact, I could put it like this. Witnessing is not verbal combat. It's not a war of the wits. It has nothing at all to do with your own personal powers of persuasion. Because you are not the most important person when you share your faith in Jesus. Anybody want to venture a guess who's the most important person? Maybe Jesus? Is it? Oh, but Jerry, that's simple. Yes. The gospel is simple. We make it difficult. Jerry Bridges wrote a book years ago called The Simplicity of the Gospel, and it just shook me to my core because we're so good at making things complex. I mean, even the simple, I've told you the story, and I love telling it, so I'm going to tell it again. Or I went to go speak at a church in India for a youth thing when I was a youth pastor, and the pastor was, he was a good guy, but he was just kind of not my cup of tea, let's put it that way. So he gets up after worship, he says, you know, a lot of you are holding your hands up, honest goodness, that's the way he talked. A lot of you holding your hands up like this, and that means you're telling God, no, no. You got to turn your palms over so the Holy Spirit can roll on into you. See, Scripture says raise your hands as an offering of worship. It doesn't say palms up, palm down. It doesn't say two hands. It doesn't say what height. You know, some people have that prayer posture. You ever seen that? Like they're holding the world at bay or something. You know what that is? That's us being difficult. That's us taking the simplicity of just raise your hands and tell God you love Him. Amen. And turning into, well, you've got to have one palm up to receive and the other palm to push the devil away. And it makes me tired. So all of this, witnessing is simply a matter of telling your story about who you love and what He's done for you. You can do this. You don't need a theology degree to tell your story. Do you? No. You know what's happened to you. You get it. Just tell people about it. Look at 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. And we're kind of at the end of 3:15, the beginning of 3:16. And if someone asks about your hope as a believer, always be ready to explain it. But do this in a gentle and respectful way. This kind of takes away yelling at people and calling them sinners, doesn't it? Gentle and respectful. And we heard somebody say, don't you love this when they say, you know, with all due respect. Whenever somebody prefaces something with all due respect, nothing respectful is coming after that. With all due respect, you're a booger-eating moron. Oh, that's very respectful. I live in the military. Permission to speak freely? You have permission. You may pay your consequences for it, but you have permission. And if someone asks about your hope as a believer, always be ready to explain it. Not, well, you know, let me call my pastor because my pastor knows more about this than I do. No. No. That's God giving you a time and an opportunity to speak to somebody who's ready to hear the gospel. So, always be prepared. Anybody here ever a Boy Scout? Cub Scout? Be prepared. Always be prepared. So how do you do that? First of all, know what you believe. One reason that we're sometimes reluctant to witness is we don't feel completely confident in our knowledge of the basics of our beliefs. Look at this. Some people think that because they do not have a graduate degree in theology, They're not qualified to talk about their faith. That's not true. I personally have 2 degrees, one in business, and I have a master's in business. Neither of those are in theology. I somehow managed to get up here on Sundays and preach. Somehow managed to, without the degrees, get up here and hopefully impart what God's given me. The Christian faith is powerful because it's simple. It doesn't need complicated formulas and theories that only a scholar can understand. I got to be honest with you. I heard, when I was in college, I did go to 1 year of Bible college. And the most important thing I learned in 1 year of Bible college, well, I learned 2 good things. I took a class in treating sports injuries. And so I learned how to tape ankles for football players and stuff. But I used that quite a bit, actually, as a coach and being around. And the other thing I learned was dress warm for some classes because it's easier to sleep when you're warm. Okay? That's all I learned. And how to do pranks and get away with them. I could tell you some stories involving carp and Icy Hot and all kinds of stuff. I heard these 2 students talking one day, and they were really, really upset about Calvinism and Arminianism. And trust me, you can look it up later. If you really want to go to sleep, you can look it all up later. It's 2 guys that came up with the way that they think happens. And they're, like, all of a sudden, they're the only 2 guys that have a corner on knowledge. Are you Calvinist or Arminius? I just know Jesus saved me. Oh, well, you need to know, brother. And they're just going at each other and talking about, and they're getting really heated. And I'm walking through, and one of them was in one of my classes, and he said, Jerry, what do you think? I said, you know what? I think it's amazing that everybody in the world is saved. And that gives you guys time to argue about these stupid little minutia things. And I walked away. I could hear them both behind me. Well, that's just stupid. Hey, dipwit. You're arguing over Calvinism and Arminianism. You guys are barking at each other. They spent a lot of time and energy on this. And there's people outside this building going to hell. Really? That's really the most important thing you got going on right now? We get so upset, well, there's a Baptist church there, and there's an independent church, and there's this and this. You know what? Just tell people about Jesus. How hard is that? They don't care about your theology. They don't know enough about theology to care. If you really want to know your basics, I want you to read this. It's called the Nicene Creed, the Apostles' Creed. This tells you everything. This is what we believe in a nutshell. Now, this is the modern version. I'll give you honest, the older version is a little tougher to get through. This is the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. Now, is any of this too hard? No. This is the basics of what we know. He ascended into heaven. On the 3rd day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Church. Now, some of the modern versions will say the Holy Catholic Church. It's not talking about the Catholic Church like we think of Catholic Church. The word Catholic literally means universal. So some put that in. I took it out simply for the version I had. I took it out simply for clarification. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. It's pretty easy. Pretty down to earth. Pretty simple. Kind of like the message of Jesus. This creed covers the most basic aspects of our faith. We believe in the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. We believe in the fact that Jesus is God, not just a good moral teacher. I hate that anyway. People say, well, I don't know that Jesus was God, but he was a good moral teacher. No, he wasn't. If Jesus wasn't the Son of God, then he was a nutcase. Think about it. If he really wasn't the Son of God, would he have gone through all of that pain, all that suffering? And no. See, you can't say that. Because if he really wasn't the Son of God, then he was just some moron. We know better. We believe in the virgin birth, the literal resurrection, and the second coming of Christ. We believe in the need for salvation from sin, and we believe in eternal life. Easy peasy. Right? See, it's the responsibility of the leadership of this church to teach the basics of the Christian faith. Jeremiah and I, it's our job to make sure that you understand the basics of our faith. And not patting ourselves on the back, I believe we do a pretty good job of that. We share what Jesus is, why he came, how it applies to your life. Both Jeremiah and I are very practical. I hate going to church and somebody tells me some real off-the-wall concept that never tells me how to apply it. All right, that's great. What does this mean to me? I could tell you the story of Noah and the ark. Just tell you the story. Tell the story of Jonah and the great fish. I could tell you that story. The great stories. They really happened. I believe they really happened. Okay? But if I don't teach you why you need to know that or how that applies to you, I basically wasted your time. You walk out and see, you know, nice story, bro. If you really want to know in depth what we believe about certain things, go to our website. There is a series called Elements. And we took the chemistry chart, the chart of the elements. So we have element S for salvation. I think there's element T for the Trinity. And we broke down over the weeks, we broke down exactly what we believe and why. You ever want to know exactly what we need, what you're getting into when you come here? Listen to the Element series. Powerful stuff. It's also the responsibility of you as a believer to go the second mile and learn about the Christian faith on your own. Now, there are some good books that can help you in the process. Here are two of them. These are my two favorite. Know What You Believe by Paul Little. Incredible book. And Mere Christianity by C.S. Lewis. If you haven't read Mere Christianity, you need to. You need to. Most people know C.S. Lewis from the Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, the Chronicles of Narnia. What people don't realize is that C.S. Lewis was an atheist. And then came to Christ, and he called himself the most reluctant convert in all of England. He didn't want to be a Christian. Incredible, incredible book. These books will strengthen your knowledge of what we believe and the reasons behind our beliefs. But the other book you really ought to be reading? The Bible. Not that hard. Get you a Bible you can read. If you're reading the King James and your mind thinks in King James, God bless you. Mine doesn't. And as an actor, I did Shakespeare in high school. We did it in Shakespearean. Blow, winds, crack your cheeks, rage, blow. I'm like, okay, I know what it means, but I'm saying it. I actually had to have my drama teacher explain a couple of phrases to me. Then he explained a couple to me, like, oh, that's not very nice. Most of the scriptures that Jeremiah and I use both come out of the New Living Translation. It's a great translation for you. It's a lot like we talk. The New International Version is a great version. A little more, little less modern, maybe, the New International Version. Get yourself a Bible you can read. And read it. I love when it, oh, here's my Bible. Yeah? You know how you tell a Bible's been used? It's got notations in the margins. Look, it's God's word. You can write in your Bible. And don't be like doodling. I play tic-tac-toe. I lost three times. No, don't do that. But underline things. Take a highlighter. Highlight. You pick up one of my Bibles I've used to preach with, and it's got highlighted stuff all over the place. Now I use an iPad, so that's a little different. But if you go to my Bible program, there's notes in my Bible program. Right after Remnant, about 3 years into Remnant starting, I began using my iPad to preach from. And a guy came to me after service. He said, you know, Pastor, while you were preaching, I could see the light of the Holy Spirit coming from your Bible. And I didn't know whether to crush him by telling him the truth or just say, well, you know, God bless you. That's great. So I told him, I said, you know, I use an iPad, right? No, I didn't know that. He was all upset. He doesn't come here anymore, so maybe that's why. Here's the thing. You don't need to know everything either. I've been witnessing for, long time. Can we put it that way? I'm 58. I've been a Christian, a really good sold-out Christian since I was 17. I'm a pastor, and I've been pastoring for almost 40 years, or in the ministry almost 40 years, and I still get questions that stump me. You know the correct answer to a question that stumps you? I don't know. But then they'll know you don't know things. You got a feeling they had a handle on that before they asked the question. I don't know. Every now and then I get asked this question, why is there so much suffering in the world? If God loves us, why does he let little children starve to death? Now let me tell you something. You can start blowing smoke at that point. Well, you know, there's a battle between good and evil, and every now and then, you know what? You're not going to resolve that question. And my answer to questions like that is, you know what? I wish I could give you a good answer. I know there's evil in the world and evil fights against good, but when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask God, why didn't you just wipe out all these bad people? I know God is sovereign and God has his ways and there's just and unjust, and he wants the bad people come to him even though they're bad. He wants them to be saved and come to him. I've had parents who lost a child. Just ask me, if God loves me, why did my kid die? You can't answer that question. You can try, but you'll trip all over yourself doing it. Here's the problem. You can't resolve the problem of pain in a 30-second soundbite. You just can't. You can't memorize a pat answer that will placate those who ask this question. I had my son died. Oh, I know just how you feel. No, you don't. And you belittle my pain by saying that. Oh, I went through this. You know the great answer to this is I don't know, but here's what I know. I know God loves me, and God loves the world, and he's doing everything for a reason that's going to work out for our good. We may not see it now, but God's working these things out for our good. That's all I got. We know this, God is good and merciful. He doesn't cause human suffering. He came in this world to put an end to it. And he offers comfort to those who are in pain. And more importantly, as Christians, he challenges us to reach out to the suffering and do what we can to help. First part of being prepared to share your faith with others is to build a foundation of knowledge about what you believe. The fact that you don't have a theology degree is no excuse for you not to know what you can find out about what God does. I was in college, they used those stupid Scantron things. So this girl next to me, this is in college, Western Civilization class. She looks down, and she's just furiously scribbling. Just filling in holes. And I said, how did you know the answers so fast? She goes, oh, I don't know the answers. I just fill in the blanks. Sometimes she'd make little zigzag patterns. And she got a C in the class. She never opened her book. Oh, I haven't done a B in a while. I'm studying like crazy, and I got a B in the class. Halfway through, I thought, maybe I should just start coloring in dots. But if I did, I know I'd fail, because that's the way my life works. But let me tell you something. I know stuff about that class that she doesn't have begin to know about because she didn't bother studying. And say, oh, well, where will I use that? Every college student asks that same question. Where will I ever use this? When you're in high school and they teach you algebra, like, where am I going to use this? This is dumb. Sorry. Got a math teacher sitting over here. I got to be careful. So does this mean we need to wait until you know everything before you talk to somebody? No. Because here's a newsflash, Sparky. You're never going to know everything. The more you know about what you believe, the more effective you'll be in witnessing. So make an effort to know what you believe. That's easy enough, isn't it? Apply yourself. Some people go through their entire Christian lives and never really apply themselves to their Christian life. They'll study for a test in school. They'll study for a driving test. They'll even try hard on Jeopardy on television. Just divert that energy toward God. Get yourself a Bible you can study out of and work it. Second thing, know your testimony. Some of the best advice I got as a new Christian was to develop my testimony. Put together in an organized practice. And I didn't do it, and that's why I had so many mishaps along the way. I was once at a meeting where a guy gave his testimony. He spoke for 45 minutes. 40 minutes. 35 minutes were about all the sins he committed. Okay. That's great. Somehow he found his way to a church, and what happened next was a little unclear based on what he said, but somehow he became religious and stopped committing all the bad sins. If I wasn't already a Christian, I would not have known how to find Christ based on his testimony. The better way to share your testimony, it doesn't have to be 40 minutes long, and it shouldn't be. I don't want to talk to somebody face-to-face 40 minutes. I'm very much a hi, how you doing? You know, you're talking to me for 40 minutes, there better be food there somewhere. And to be honest, it probably needs to be about football, baseball, or cars. I'm kind of shallow that way, I guess. If you're talking to somebody one-on-one, giving your testimony, it needs to be about 3 to 5 minutes. I kind of lifted some of this from Jeremiah, so I'm giving him credit. But he's going to preach a whole message on this. I hope. I told him he should. I don't know whether he's going to listen to me or not. We often don't listen to each other. Your testimony needs to consist of three things. Part one, what events in your life cause you to seek relationship with God? You do not need to give a laundry list of all the bad things you've done. Well, when I was 12, I stole candy from Rite Aid. Shut up. When I used to have this when I would go speak at churches where I'd never spoken before. And I would start by saying, you know, I could tell you about all the cars that I stole as a teenager. I could tell you about, you know, being drunk. And I could tell you about the murder I committed and the time I spent in prison. None of that's true, but I could tell you all that. But instead, I want to tell you about Jesus. Because really, isn't that the most important? I mean, look, we all got things we've done we're not proud of. We've all got sin that has held us back. So hit the high points. You know, I was involved. John Rentemacki, who spoke for us to open this series, I had no idea the things that had gone on in John's life. None whatsoever. And you know what? That was great. Because all John and I ever talked about was what God was going to do. All John and I ever spoke about is the great things God is doing. And we would come, and I would, almost every message that I preached when John was here, he comes to me afterward, you know, and he started talking about two or three things that I had said, that he had another idea that went off, and it was just awesome. I had no idea his testimony. I had no idea the things that he had gone through. But we're starting at a different place. We're both Christian brothers talking. What caused you to seek a relationship with Christ? Part two, how did you come into a personal relationship with Christ? This is so important. How did you come to know Jesus? Did you go to church and it was because of something the preacher said? Was it because your mama talked to you? What was it? What brought you to Christ? Because here's the thing, when you're giving your testimony, that's what they need to know. They need to know not where you were, how'd you get where you are? How did you come to know Christ? What happened? And then part three, what has happened since? In other words, what difference has knowing Christ made in your life? Guys, you can do this. This doesn't take theology, does it? This is just you telling people, here's what's gone on in my life. I use the term all the time. Evangelism is one beggar telling another beggar where he found bread. I was hungry. I found bread here. And since I found bread, my life is different. I'm full. My life is good. You can do that. I grew up in church, but I found out in high school that God doesn't have grandchildren, only children. I knew all the do's and don'ts. I was in church every week, but my heart was far from God. It really came to a head after I read Romans 3. Look at Romans 3, 21 and 22. But now God has shown us a way to be made right with him without keeping the requirements of the law as was promised in the writings of Moses and the prophets long ago. We are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. And this is true for everyone who believes, no matter who we are. Suddenly, I understood what it meant to be a Christian. It wasn't following a rigid list of do's and don'ts. Now, are there things God doesn't want you to do? Absolutely. Read the Ten Commandments. It's a good kind of Cliff's Note. Don't kill, don't commit adultery, don't steal. Those are good things. You should not do those things. It's a good list. Live by that list, you won't get in much trouble. It's not about the do's and don'ts, though. Honest to goodness, they did a study of Assemblies of God youth back in the 50s, and they asked them what the cardinal doctrines of the Assemblies of God were. You know what they said? Don't smoke, don't drink, don't have sex before you get married. They really thought that was the most important thing. No, the cardinal doctrines of the Assemblies of God are the Trinity and the fact that Jesus died for our sins. The reason that we understood that is because that's what we heard preached all the time. Women, we always hear about not wearing their skirts too short. These call it clothesline preaching. I grew up in Pentecost, man. I've heard these sermons over and over again. It's important for us to realize that God, a relationship with God, is more than a list of do's and don'ts. It's a relationship. It's about accepting Jesus and trusting him to take away our sins. When I read this, I thought, you know what? I can do that. I can live that way. And that helped set me straight. I remember praying that prayer and realizing what God wanted for me. And suddenly I felt peace and joy that I had never felt before. The do's and don'ts don't bring peace and joy. A relationship with Jesus does. So when you start out your message, when you start out your testimony about all the do's and don'ts, you're turning them off. It's real important, guys, that we focus on what God's going to do. Let the Holy Spirit convict them of their sin. Can't imagine what my life would have been without knowing Jesus. My life hasn't been smooth sailing. I've gone through things, and God has always seen me through. Now, whether you know it or not, with a little embellishment for preaching, I just gave you my testimony. Was that hard? If I hadn't stuck in some extra stuff along the way, it would have been about 3 to 5 minutes. That's all it is. I was lost. I was a sinner. Man, my life was going down the tubes bad. And I read a verse that changed my life. I knew all the do's and don'ts, but I read a verse that changed my life. And since then, God has done amazing things in me. I've seen my life change. I've seen my life get better. And even when I have troubles, I've seen God see me through. That's it. You can do that. Take out a pen, piece of paper when you get home, and write out your 3 points. Where were you? How'd you get where you are? And what's happened since? Witnessing isn't about preaching to people. It's about telling your story. And your story, whether you realize it or not, is powerful. It's worth taking the time to learn how to share it with others. I can remember as a kid, we always have Teen Challenge come. And Teen Challenge, like New Creations, in fact, Walter, the pastor at Christ Community, went through Teen Challenge. That's how he helped start New Creations. And I can remember hearing their testimonies of you know, being pulled from drugs and all these things. And I remember thinking, how am I ever going to be a pastor? I don't have a testimony like that. You don't need a testimony like that. You need your testimony. Because God's going to put people in your path that need to hear what you have to say about your life. That's why they're in your path. In the Gospel of John, there's a story of Jesus healing a blind man. The Pharisees tried to discredit Jesus, confronted the man saying, "This man Jesus is a sinner." And the guy, now this guy was blind, and now he can see. In John 9:25, he gives a great testimony. He says, "Look, I don't know whether he's a sinner, but I know this. I was blind, now I can see." How do you do it? How's the theology of it? I don't know. I know I couldn't see, and now I can. You used to be blind, now you can see. It's all you need to know. It's all you need to be able to share. He didn't have the knowledge to say, "Well, if you look at this verse in Isaiah, you'll see that Jesus is the fulfillment of certain prophecies. And if you'll turn now to the book of Daniel, I can show you 5 reasons why the Old Testament supports the idea that Jesus of Nazareth is the Messiah." No, I was blind, now I can see. That'll preach. When you tell someone about the difference Christ has made in your life, you begin to give them hope that maybe he can make a difference in their life too. That's why you don't need some canned dialogue. You just need to share what Jesus has done in your life. Which brings us to the third point. Know that God will set up divine appointments. I don't even know where I heard this phrase, but I love it. Divine appointments. God's got a calendar up in his office there in heaven. I guess he's got an office. I don't know. Picture of his kid on the wall. Some of you will get that later. And he's okay. August 21st, Jerry Godsey is going to meet some guy at the barbershop. Okay, that's not going to happen. Jerry Godsey is going to meet some guy out at the ranch. And he just sets the wheels in motion. And when I meet the guy at the ranch that I'm supposed to talk to, it's up to me whether or not I fulfill my end of the bargain. Because I can choose not to. But I try not to. I try to do the right thing. 1 Peter 3:15 again. "And if someone asks about your hope as a believer, always be ready to explain it." Always be ready to explain literally means be ready all the time. All the time. Now that doesn't mean you're accosting people. But look at what it says in that verse. If someone asks about your hope, what does that mean? Their heart's ready. They want to know. This is not you walking up to some stranger in the street saying, hey, you know, I used to be a sinner and now I'm saved. Okay, what's your name? No, this is somebody you work with. This is a family member. This is somebody in your neighborhood that sees something in your life. And they come to you and say, why do you have this hope? What's the right answer? Jesus. Let me give you my... And you don't even have to say, well, let me give you my testimony, brother. Hallelujah. Or you like drop your knee in Tebow and Lord, give me the presence, Lord, to give to this person. Just start talking to them. Make a big show of it. This part of the recording is going to be really loud, isn't it? We get so caught up in all the outward stuff. Just say, somebody says, hey, why do you have hope? What, you know what? Because of what Jesus has done in my life, I was hurt. I was lost, man. I was drowning in despair. And I read a verse in Romans that just changed my life. And since that time, I've been in incredible places. I've seen incredible things. I know that God has blessed me. I've had a family. I've been able to share the name of Jesus in foreign countries and in places I never thought possible. And my life is at peace because of my relationship with Jesus. That's where my hope comes from. Is that simple? Yeah, pretty much that simple. There's a sense where be prepared means that we should do our homework, learn what we need to learn. It means be ready to witness because the chance could come at any time. I read a story about a missionary in Colombia. While he was there, there were threats on his life and threats to kidnap him and hold him for ransom. The director of the missionary organization told him to pack his bags and be ready to go. He said, "The time may come that we have to get you out of the country quickly without any warning. So you need to be ready to run at a moment's notice." The missionary said he kept a packed suitcase by the door for 3 years so they could leave on a moment's notice. Sure enough, one day they got the call. It had become too dangerous for him to stay. It was time for him to leave. He and his family grabbed their suitcases and were on a plane out of the country in less than an hour. It was weeks before they were able to send for the rest of their belongings. Always be ready. Be prepared to share whenever the opportunity comes. They kept packed suitcases next to their door for 3 years. Because here's the thing. Just because it didn't happen today doesn't mean it's not going to happen tomorrow. And just because it didn't happen yesterday doesn't mean it's not going to happen next Monday. So I've always got to be ready. And it's easy for us to look at our family members or our friends and say, well, they're never going to want to know Jesus. You know what? Never's a long time, and you can't make that statement. Because if you're living right in front of them, the time is going to come when they're ready. On a moment's notice, be prepared to talk to someone about Christ because you never know when the opportunity will come up. And it doesn't mean you'll ever get it again. I honestly believe there are these divine appointments where we get one shot. And I would love to tell you that I've always done it right, and I haven't. See, when the time does come, you don't want to say, man, I wish I was ready for that. Just be ready. A couple of years ago, the Patriots played the Seahawks in the Super Bowl. It really hurts my heart when I say the Patriots won. I will smack you. I will lay hands on you and forget to pray. Malcolm Butler made an interception at the goal line that sealed the win for the Patriots. And they'd say, oh, what a great play. You know where the great play started? Earlier in the week during practice, when his coach, Bill Belichick, who I can't stand but is a genius, said, they run this play down by the goal line, all you need to do is step into this open spot. And guess what? They ran that play by the goal line with everything on the line. If the Seahawks had won, they would have been the Super Bowl champs. Malcolm Butler stuck his helmet where it was supposed to go, got his body in, and made an interception that gave the Patriots a win in the Super Bowl. So, oh, what a lucky place in the right place at the wrong time. No, he prepared. That's why he was there. Hey, you got to do some film study. You've got to be prepared for what God's going to put in your way. That way, when the moment comes in, you're not 5 yards away covering something you're not supposed to be. You're in the right place at the right time with the right move because God put you there. Oh, if you'll come back next week. No. Now. Because the Holy Spirit may only get that moment of time in their hearts. Our objective should be to always be prepared to share our faith whenever God gives us these divine appointments. You know what's amazing? It's how often the subject comes up. I left being a youth pastor at Faith Assembly to go to Southern California College in Costa Mesa. And while I was at SCC, I was used to being a youth pastor. I gave messages every week, and I was used to being involved in a church, and I really couldn't find a church there that fit my needs, so I was going to my grandpa's church on the weekend, but you really can't do much when you're driving all that way. So I just prayed one day, Lord, help me minister here on campus. I'm around all these students. I know some of them, maybe they're Christians, but maybe they're not, but some of them have needs. God, just help me to be ready to help whoever needs help. That was in the morning. I prayed that prayer. The afternoon, a guy walks into my dorm room, doesn't know me from Adam. He says, you Jerry Godsey? Yeah. He said, I was wondering if I could talk to you. You like the Dodgers? He sits down. The RA, the resident assistant on our floor, he went to talk to the guy, and the RA didn't have time. He says, go talk to Godsey. That conversation still chokes me up years later. Because this kid was hurting, and he just needed somebody to hear him. He just needed somebody to tell him that God was going to see him through. So we're sitting there in my dorm room. He's weeping. And somehow God gives words. It sure wasn't me. I'm not that smart. And he walked up. We were done. He stood up and he said, thank you. I never saw him on campus ever again. I know he went to school there because that's how he found out about me. I never saw him on campus again. And that's not the important thing. The important thing is that when God gave me an opportunity, I was ready. And I prayed for that opportunity. Every morning, folks, every morning when your feet hit the ground, you need to be praying, God, give me somebody today. We shall be like little guided missiles. I saw pictures of the World War II bombers, and they would write, here's one for Hitler, on the outside of the bomb in chalk and stuff. All right, cool. Here's one for my cousin. Lord, I don't know who I'm going to talk to today, but give me a shot. Just give me a shot. I don't care how big, how small, God, just give me a chance. Put me in, coach, I'm ready. I think there are coaches who played me just so I would leave them alone. Because I would stand next to them. I could play the position right there. That's a punter, Godsey. Yeah, I know, I could do it. I can't punt. I just want to play. Put me in on offense, coach. Godsey, you're an offensive lineman. Yeah, I know, but I want to catch the ball. Make me a tight end. No, just go play offensive line. Shut up. I just wanted to play. I just wanted to do something. Are you that excited about Jesus? God, I just want to do something. Just send me to somebody. I don't care if they're important or not important. I don't care. Just send me to somebody. If every one of you starts praying that prayer, we're going to need more chairs. Get your testimony down. Get it ready, because you're about to hear from that. You're about to hear from people now. See, you're not here for an accident. Oh, I came and the pastor spoke about that. It was amazing. It really wasn't. But you're here because God's going to start sending people your way. You better be ready. And if your heart is not ready because you haven't been living the way you know you need to live, you better get that together. Hello? You better get that together. You don't want to be the reason that somebody doesn't ask you about Jesus. You don't want your behavior, your actions, your mouth to be the reason people don't talk to you about Jesus. So let me sum it up. We're not bulldozing our way into people's lives. We're not going to Jesus juke people. You know Jesus juking? Where you try and inject something spiritual in a conversation where it really doesn't belong. We were talking about fantasy football one day, and we were talking about real teams. Then one guy, the spiritual one of the group, well, I only root for Jesus. You know what? I will smack you. That's where that conversation heading. Now all of a sudden you're super Joe spiritual and okay, if you don't like football, don't talk about it. But we try and inject Jesus into these places where it doesn't belong. You know, I was trying to fix my carburetor the other day and I couldn't get the idle set right. Well, you know, if you prayed, the Lord would help you set that idle. Maybe, but he didn't have a screwdriver and I was really struggling. And really, we belittle God and what he does by trying to force that into those conversations. I'm going to give you a whole message on that coming up. Get ready. Because there's a right way and a wrong way to witness. There's a right time and a right place. When I set up the chaplaincy program at the sheriff's office, I warned every pastor, do not preach your Sunday message to these guys in the front seat of a cruiser. Number one, they're too busy. They're not going to hear it. You just go, you show them you love them, you care about them, and you listen to them. And I had guys say, well, I'm not going to do it if I can't testify. You know what? There's a lot of ways to testify. You don't have to get out the King James Bible to do it. Sharing your faith is simply telling your story about who you love and what he's done for you. There's a reason why the Bible calls it the good news. Or the Bible is called the good news. That salvation is called the good news. The word gospel comes from the German good spell, good story. Because our testimony is a good story. Jesus coming and dying for our sins is a good story. A good story in the way that it's good because it shows us that we have a chance. It shows us that God loves us. It shows us that we can have a life that is better than the life we lead. Study. Study to show yourself approved, the scripture says. Good. Study. Find out the things. There's no reason to be willfully ignorant. Just work at it. Listen to the Elements series. Get Mere Christianity by C.S. Lewis. I cannot tell you to get that high enough. That's just an incredible book. Read your Bible. See what Jesus has to say by himself. But be ready. Because when you least expect it, not candid camera, when you least expect it, see, all the people over 45 or so all went, oh, candid camera. All the younger people went, I don't know. I saw a rerun of that once. Shut up. I watch it live. When you least expect it, God's going to put somebody in your direction, in your path. And then, to be honest with you, it's put up or shut up. Because if you truly love Jesus, you'll be prepared to give a reason for your hope. Amen? Father, thanks. You're so good to us, God. Father, first and foremost, thank you for what you've done for each one of us. You have truly, truly given us opportunity to have our lives transformed by you. God, everybody in this room has people they know that don't follow you. They're lost and they're dying in their sin, and you want us to be ready to help them live. Father, I pray for everybody in this room now. Anybody that watches the video or listens to this audio, God, I pray that their hearts would be broken for the lost around them. That they will look at the people who don't know you and not feel bad about them, God, but have their hearts break. Not be mad at them because of their sin, but God, have their heart broken by the despair that their life is in. God, because as our hearts break, we realize that we have the answer to that heartbreak. And it's you. Thank you, God. Everybody's heads are bowed, everybody's eyes are closed. I want to ask you a simple question. Are you ready to share your faith? Are you CPR certified? Are you ready to just tell your story? There's a German term called Heilsgeschichte, which means to share your salvation story. How did you come to know Jesus? You know what? If you do nothing but tell your story, this church is going to double. Because the lost and dying that God puts in your path are going to come to know Jesus. So I want to challenge you. No, I'm going to take another step further and say, as your pastor, I lovingly command you. I'm telling you, this is not an option. You need to get ready. Because lives are at balance, at stake here. Lives are held in the balance. And it's up to you to swing that balance toward Jesus. I'm not giving you an option. And if you want to say I'm bullying you, I don't care. I care about the loss too much to let your feelings get in the way. Do you care about the lost enough to put yourself on the line? Do you care about your friends and family that are going to hell? Do you care about them enough to stand in the way? Because if you don't ever tell them you love them, because you don't. You can do this, and it's time.
You've been listening to a presentation of Remnant. For more information, visit us online at remnantchurchiv.com. You build a mighty fortress, 10,000 burdens high. Love is here to lift you up, here to